friend. Welcome back to Learning English Through the Bible. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Here we meet the old Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. At that time, he held a position in Israel, like today's senators in the U.S. He was quite different from the other Pharisees of his time. He did not despise or attack Jesus like all the other Pharisees. He respected Jesus as a teacher. At this point, you probably realized that the Hebrew word rabbi means teacher. One night, the old Nicodemus came to seek answers from Jesus. He knew about God's promise that the Messiah was to come to establish the kingdom of God. He had been waiting for the coming of God's kingdom. He learnt of the miracles that Jesus had done, such as allowing the blind to see, the lame to walk, the lepers to be clean, the deaf to hear, the dead to rise, and the poor to hear the good news. He also learned of his fellow Pharisees' accusations against Jesus. But he kept an open mind simply because he was looking forward to God's promised kingdom. He figured that Jesus must be from God. Otherwise, no one could perform the miraculous signs Jesus did. That one night, he came and told Jesus what he thought. What do you think Jesus would reply? Let's go back to the Bible. Now, verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Yes, Jesus knew the old Nicodemus very well. Our Lord knew his heart. Our Lord even knew his thoughts before he opened his mouth. That's why Jesus did not waste time on greeting this highly respected man. He declared the truth to Nicodemus immediately without hesitation. The Lord longs to reveal himself to those who seek him. Old Nicodemus, I know you are waiting for the kingdom of God, but you cannot even see it if you were not born again. Hearing this, the old Nicodemus became really perplexed. He asked, and Jesus patiently explained to him how a man might be born again. Let's read verses 4 to 15. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Who can enter the kingdom of God? Not the well-respected Nicodemus at the time. Not the Pharisees who were righteous in their own eyes. Not those who are sure that they are good enough. Not those who think they are not good enough. Not a single one who is born of the flesh, but those who are born again, born of water and the Spirit. How can a man be born again? This is the heavenly theme that Nicodemus had difficulty grasping. He was so used to the earthly things. Aren't we very much like Nicodemus? So Jesus used two earthly things to teach him and us. The first thing is easy to accept. When the wind blows, we can hear and see its consequences, even though we cannot see the wind itself. In like manner, when the Spirit does its work in man, we can see the fruit of his work, even though we cannot see the Spirit himself. The second earthly thing Jesus used to teach Nicodemus and us was very familiar to Nicodemus, but he did not understand its meaning at all until his Lord and ours was crucified on the cross for his sins and ours. In verse 14, Jesus referred to the miraculous healings God performed through his servant Moses while the Israelites were in the desert. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9, the Bible says that the Israelites grew impatient on the way from their slavery in Egypt to their own country of freedom. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Isn't it amazing that the Lord God loved the Israelites even in their disobedience? He did not abandon them, but suffered long for their repentance. Isn't it amazing that the Lord used the snake to heal those bitten by the snakes? We all know that the snake symbolizes sin and that the wages of sin is death. Isn't it even more amazing that Jesus, the Son of Man, must be lifted up just as the snake? He never even knew sin, yet became sin for us. He carried all the sins of Nicodemus and all the sins of yours and mine. He suffered death on the cross so that everyone who looks up to him will be born again with a new life, a life everlasting. What love is this? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Dear friend, the true light, Jesus, the one and only Son of God, has already come. Do you walk in the light and live by the truth? I pray you do. Please don't stay condemned, but enjoy God's amazing love. May our loving God bless you. Bye-bye.